Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, keep your promise, we pray, that when your word goes forth, it will not return void, but will accomplish that for which you send it forth. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever had someone say something to you that in their mind was really funny, some kind of joke, but in your mind wasn't funny at all because it was aimed right at you? And maybe it offended you, maybe they were poking fun at you in some way, and it seemed like a serious thing to you, and they're just casually making fun of it. But because your friends, maybe relatives, but maybe mom and dad, if your dad was like mine, but maybe you just brushed it off and eventually forgot about it. I bet you can imagine this scenario. You've probably had it happen to you. You've probably done it to somebody else, just like I have. Now imagine, though, that just as you had about forgotten about it, finally you've gotten it off your mind, they do it again. And then a third time, and a fourth time, and it really starts to get on your nerves. And if it continues, you know what's likely to happen is that you'll begin to avoid that person, won't you? Right? If they keep making fun of you, keep getting on your nerves that way, you're likely to begin to avoid that person. And you could say that the behavior of that person is coming between your friendship, coming between you and him or her. It is destroying your close relationship, that kind of behavior. And unless they come to realize it, well, your friendship will one day be over. Maybe that has happened to you. Or maybe you've been the one who has offended someone else, and you've done it to an extent that your friendship is just over. I did that once in high school. Regret it to this day. There's a similar situation to that that can arise between ourselves and God, where our behavior can destroy our very relationship with him. And the behavior I'm talking about here isn't just joking around. It's sin. The Old Testament says this in the prophet Isaiah. He says, "See, your iniquities have separated you from your God." And so when we sin, even the sins of Christians can begin to build a little wall between ourselves and God. And that wall can grow day by day if we let it, if we continue unrepentant in our sins. And so God has given us a gift, a way to fix that, to fix this situation. And it is contained in our lesson for today, found in John's first letter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. And here's what we read. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." John began with these words, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." I like a different translation. It's very slightly different, but I like this because it really captures, I think, what he means. And it's this: if ever we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, I doubt there's a person in this room, certainly not myself, who would make the claim to be sinless. Because to claim that we were sinless would mean we're claiming perfection. I don't think anybody would say that. But you know what we do, and we do this pretty often. We like to soften it a bit, don't we? So sometimes we, rather than talk about a sin, we talk about a mistake that we have made, don't we? Mistake, as if it was an accident, like spilling my coffee is an accident. And... and so we call our sin, well, it's just a mistake. As if when I called that guy a big pile of worms, it was, you know, just accidentally came out of my mouth. And, no, it's a sin, isn't it? And we do this a lot. We call lies fibs, and gossip we call news, and fornication we call sleeping together. We have all kinds of euphemisms so that the hardness, the difficulty of our sins is softened to our own ears. But when we do that, we deceive ourselves, God says. We really are that bad, you know? I am. So are you. Worse than you can imagine. Somebody once rightly said this, that it's not just what we do that is sin, it's what we are. Ever since Adam sinned, it's what we are. That's the problem. And if we're honest with ourselves, we will see it. But we will not see it probably the way God sees it. Here's what is so incredible to me. One of the incredible things about God is that he has no sinful pride. If somebody sinned against me and just kept sinning against me the way I keep sinning against God, I'd have nothing to do with that guy, you know? I would, if I was God, I'd just go and squash him out and start over again. That's what I would do. But thankfully, and boy, you can be glad God is not like me. can't you? He is not, not at all. And in fact, he wants the relationship with you to be healed more than you want it to be healed. Isn't that an amazing thing? I sin against him, and he wants that relationship to be healed. That's how God is. And so he has made a way, we said, in our lesson for today to heal that relationship. If we confess our sins, John says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's made this way. And it's not like when my brother and I used to try and heal our relationship after one of us did something to the other one. And I would say to him, well, all right, I won't tell mom and dad if you never do it again and give me your G.I. Joe, then I'll never do this again. That's not the way God is. You know what the way is that he made? It's tell him about it. Confess it to him. Humbly admit it to him in humility. That's what it is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he's faithful and just. You say, how can he be just? How can he be righteous when he just lets my sins go unpunished? And well, there's the key. He doesn't just let them go unpunished. He lets you go unpunished, but not your sins. Your sins were punished 2,000 years ago when Jesus took them upon his own shoulders and he walked up the mountain, the Calvary, and he was punished there for your sins. He was tortured by men and forsaken by his Father. And when he said at the very end of that ordeal, it is finished, he meant it. It is finished. Your sins are gone. They've been dissolved. He took them all away. They do not exist anymore. And to keep us from taking his grace for granted and letting our sins build up until finally we ruin our relationship with him by loving our sin more than we love him, he gives us confession so that every day I don't have to worry if I've finally made him so mad at me that I've lost his grace. You say, would he forgive the really bad sins? Would he forgive murder? Yes. Paul was a murderer. Would he forgive adultery? Well, yeah. David was an adulterer. He will forgive you too, whatever it is. And so when you have fallen and you've committed a really big sin, something you never thought that you would, you thought you were better than that, you're not better than that. When your conscience won't let you rest, let me tell you something. You don't have to go to him 1,000 times and confess that sin. What you can do is confess it once and then thank him 1,000 times that that sin has been washed away. Would you please pray with me? Grant, we ask you, Father, to your faithful people, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.